Week 6 DraftKings main slate breakdown. Thanks to everybody for the support so far this season. I greatly appreciate it. If you're new to the show, welcome aboard. Sorry for the delay this week. Was out in Vegas for a work thing, and good God, being 32 and staying up till 4 or 5 in the morning in Vegas every night just hits differently these days. So, needed a recovery day yesterday, needed to get through projections and obviously all the injury reports. But another awesome week in week 5, seeing people in the Discord at Win Daily Sports. You could sign up there for 50% off everything using promo code STIX, that is STIX. Again, this is where all the projections like receptions, passing yards, completions, pass attempts, all that good stuff is customer facing there. So everything that the 80 model does behind the scenes on my computer is being shown over at Win Daily Sports. So it's excellent for prop betting, excellent for, you know, start sits and season long, all that good stuff. Just kind of seeing where the edges may be in the market, and especially using our prop model that, you know, takes into effect the spread, the juice that you're laying there, and figures out what type of edge you have on a player prop using the 80 model. So it's been fantastic. I believe overall right now, if you don't have access to the betting sheet that I share on Google Sheets, it's been hot. I think the good thing there is, like, I'm waiting for like every play to have at least like a 7 to 8% edge minimum. So it's not like a shit ton of plays. I know a lot of people on Twitter out there will have like 15 plays a week. Jason over at Win Daily, the owner there, my God, that guy loves betting player props and just doesn't stop, keeps getting tickets to the window. So I'm not being that aggressive with it. But so far through 5 weeks, we have never had a losing week yet. And week 5 was fantastic again, 3 out of 4. But yeah, it's not going to be a ton of volume, but we are over 11 and a half units of profit. If you're betting 100 a game, or 100 a prop, whatever the case may be, you know, over $1,000 in profit. So that's fantastic there, or $1,000 return, whatever. You know what to do there. But week 5 was fantastic again. My GPP line I talked about last week, absolutely loved Lamar. In the game changer, that $1,500 single entry that I like to play as like my main lineup, Lamar was only 8% owned. I thought a ton of people would be on him. I did talk about Chase being like the preferred bring back, obviously, but for 8K, I just couldn't afford him. So my lineup was Lamar, Josh Jacobs, and ended up needing a value running back, Javonte Williams. 16 points and 7% owned. He was stopped on like the 2-inch yard line. Like, that touchdown would have been huge for me. This lineup had 170 points. Used Lamar naked. T. Higgins was the bring back. Locked in Michael Pittman. I know he didn't have a fantastic day, but 14.7 points is not bad. Brian Thomas Jr. was the core play of the week at wide receiver, only 17% owned. I don't know how more people weren't on him at his price of $5,900 against Indy and all the cover three that they ran. And Brian Thomas's expected target share against cover three, like we talked about on last show, was through the roof. Just a great play. I mean, the guy's awesome. Ended up, although I wanted nothing to do with it, this lineup kind of called for it because I did want a piece of San Fran. I'd used Debo in the flex. He had absolutely nothing. And of course, he goes apeshit on Thursday night this week. It sucks because if Debo gets like 15, 20 points, I think I'd damn near take this thing down for 100K. Tucker Kraft was the punt tight end that I used. And I did use Houston's defense at 0% ownership. I did like that spot. You know, Josh Allen, very capable of throwing the ball away. And no Khalil Shakir, which I think that offense needs dearly. Hopefully he's back on Monday night, but Texans defense kind of just didn't do a whole lot, only one sack, but no turnovers there. But yeah, man, if fucking Debo does anything, the lineup just crushes. But it did get through the pay line. It was finished 23rd in that tournament. Good return there. Let's get into the injuries for week 6. We got a lot of them. We'll start here. We'll go like team by team. I feel like some of the feedback I've gotten said that would be easier to track. So we'll go with the Commanders. No, Brown is likely back. Brian Robinson is highly questionable. This should be a very interesting game. Very high total. We'll get into that in a little bit. So keep an eye on Brian Robinson. Even if he does play, I think he's going to be on a severe pitch count because that knee seems to be bugging him a lot. Ravens linebacker Malik Harrison, who's a really good run stopper, should be out. And defensive tackle Broderick Washington out. So again, like, this could be a decent spot for Washington running backs, but Brian Robinson's probably out. For the Packers, I thought Jaire Alexander would be back last week. Reading like his interviews and seeing him talk about it, like, it still seems questionable, but limited all through the week. Luke Musgrave on IR. Romeo Dobbs should be back. For Houston, Mixon and Damian Pierce are out, or back in, I'm sorry. Nico is out. and I believe Nico's on the IR. Cornerback Kamari Lassiter is out. Safety Jimmy Ward is out. And Robert Woods is out. I don't think Robert Woods really matters to anybody, but never know if you're in a deep, deep, deep league. Or it's probably too late in guillotine seasons to be ever considering starting Robert Woods. But if Nico was out, maybe Robert Woods had a little bit of a bump up. But that should be probably now is Xavier Hutchinson. And obviously, you know, we'll talk about the wide receivers, Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell shortly. For the Patriots, Drake May is starting. Kendrick Bourne is, I think, going to be off his pitch count this week. So we'll see. Ramondre Stevenson is out. KJ Osborne likely back. That should bump up a little bit for Antonio Gibson. But like I said last week, I just don't believe that this guy can take 15-plus carries. So we'll see what happens. Eagles, damn near full bill of health. A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are back. For the Colts, sounds like Anthony Richardson is going to play. Pittman, I guess they said he was going to potentially be on IR, or more than likely going to be IR. He's a full participant yesterday in practice. So I don't know what half these reporters are doing. I don't do their job, so I'm not going to say it's easier or anything like that. But I don't, just that's like a weird big miss out of Indy. Jonathan Taylor still out. Quiddy Pay is back, defensive end. Obviously, DeForest Buckner on the IR still, but Quiddy Pay helps a lot. Titans, Will Levis is back. Jamal Adams is out. For the Bucs, Christian Eisen is out. The safety, Trey Palmer, wide receiver, out. Rashad White, likely out. Jalen McMillions, who did not win us him McMillion in week two or three when DJ and I were on him, is back. Saints, Derek Carr is out. Kendre Miller, likely back. That'll be interesting. Cesar Ruiz is out. Taysom Hill is out. Will Harris out. Pete Werner out. Saints pretty banged up. Let's see what Spencer Rattler's got. Broncos pretty clean bill of health. Josh Reynolds seems to be like the only notable guy that is out. Chargers, Gus Edwards out. Joe Alt is back. Derwin James back from suspension. Asante Samuel Jr. and Jasir Taylor, both are I guess above average. I mean, Asante Samuel Jr. I like a lot, but Jasir Taylor as well with him, both out. Steelers, DeMonte Casey out, Alex Highsmith out, Cordarrelle out, and Jaylen Warren likely back. I think he was a full participant Friday, so we should see him, which stops my love for Najee Harris, but Najee Harris kind of reminds me of Javonte Williams. Just doesn't do a ton with the football, but the volume's there. Raiders, Davante Adams is pouting still. He's out. Michael Mayer out. Panthers, they are banged up. Austin Corbett, the center, out. Backup center, Andrew Ram, out. Offensive tackle, Taylor Mountain, out. Josie Jewell, linebacker, out. Jadeveon Clowney, out. Tommy Tremble, I don't think he matters, but he is out. I didn't mean that like offensively, Tommy. You matter to your family, you matter to the Panthers, you just don't matter to fantasy players at this time. But, you know, I still believe in your talent, so get back out there, get healthy. See what you can do another day. Cowboys, Daron Bland, questionable. Eric Kendricks out. Micah Parsons, of course, is out. Let's fly through this. It is Saturday. Let's get another 25-minute pod. That was a lot of fun. First game, we got Washington and Baltimore. Let's go through ownership here. At the quarterback position, Lamar Jackson is going to be the chalk of the slate, it looks like, and Jaden Daniels, very low owned. I like both of these guys. Obviously, it's a very high total. This game opened up at 52 and Baltimore laying 6.5. It is now 51.5 and Baltimore's laying 7 or 6.5, depending on where you're looking. I love both of these guys in tournaments. I love both of these guys in cash. I think Jaden Daniels is probably going to be my cash game quarterback, but seeing like 3-4% ownership, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is a Derrick Henry spot more than anything else. So I don't know if I really want to pay completely up to Lamar Jackson, but we'll see. Running backs, Derrick Henry, 15% owned. Love him here. Again, I mean, the price of $8,000 is fair. Without the, you know, we don't really see a ton of pass catching, but that is a fair price without the pass catching. Brian Robinson Jr., 6,400. If he goes, I have no interest. The guy I like a ton here, and you got to tell yourself, like, these type of scripts. I was working on my lineup with my buddy this morning. I'm kind of like talking about it, like, all right, what did like my original lineup story tell? And it didn't really tell one. So I kind of rebuilt it. I was like, all right, well, Baltimore's got a 29.5 implied team total. I really like this spot for them. I love Derrick Henry. Can't afford him in my main lineup. So I was like, okay, well, obviously the secondary for Washington sucks and they should spread it out a lot. And I, you know, Washington's continues to play a ton of cover one and cover two, so they do have two high safeties a lot, but against cover one, like, that is Rashad Bateman. That was a great call last week too on the coverage there and playing his player prop, and I did not play him to score a touchdown. I don't really do that, but Bateman got through for us. It was a great value in DFS if you listen to the show, but this is a great spot for Bateman and say Flowers. Should be a little bit of a boost to the tight ends, but we cannot really anticipate who that's going to be. And then Washington blitzes a lot still. So Zay Flowers, love him here. So I was like, all right, I want a piece of a key contributor to Baltimore. Zay Flowers is pretty cheap at 6,500. That was a guy I chose. But if I could pay all the way up for Derrick Henry, that would be my guy. And my story here is that Baltimore scores at will. They've been scoring at will for the past couple of weeks. I don't think that stops. They're healthy. This should be another great spot for them against a very beatable defense. No Brian Robinson Jr. Austin Eckler is only 5,600. I'm telling my story that, you know, Baltimore gets out to a good lead. Austin Eckler, like, his floor is probably four or five catches for 40 to 50 yards. Like, just the receiving game of him is a very solid mid-tier wide receiver, and he's priced like a mid-tier wide receiver at 5,600. Now you add some carries on, especially if Brian Robinson Jr. is out. Like, yeah, we'll see McNichols, and obviously Jaden Daniels is going to run a ton, but Austin Eckler seems like this could be a ceiling spot for him at a very cheap price. So I like that. Wide receivers, talked about Zay Flowers, Terry McLaurin. I'll never talk you off of him. 6,400 should be a great game script. I really did like Luke McCaffrey going into the week, thinking Noah Brown was out, but it sounds like Noah Brown's going to go. So that kind of takes my love away from him. Zach Ertz is probably in a very good game script. Zach Ertz just doesn't have a ceiling. So if I like play Zach Ertz, it's like a cash game type of guy. I do think he's cash viable at 3,700. Great game script. Again, should be passing a lot, middle of the field. Should be open in Baltimore. We always see a good bit of mix of man and zone. And if they get big leads, they play a lot of cover six. But that should be advantage to Terry McLaurin and Ertz and a lot of checkdowns to Austin Eckler based on the coverage scheme here. And obviously, we got a handicap game script. So I do like Zach Ertz. I did get him as my first player prop at over 25.5 yards on Fanatics. I have a feeling my betting at Fanatics is going to be done soon. Seems like they're pulling a threshold on fucking everybody, so beat them while you can. All three of my player props are at Fanatics this week, which we'll get into the other two here shortly. Not playing pin the tail on the donkey with the Baltimore tight ends, so yeah. Moving on to Arizona Green Bay, it sounds like there could be a lot of rain and a good bit of wind. I think the Midwest or upper Midwest here, Chicago to up to Green Bay, is due for a ton of wind tomorrow and today. I played, you know, hopefully playing golf later this afternoon, and it does look windy. So I think we're getting some remnants of the storms down south. I hope, you know, if anybody's from Florida or's got family out there, hope everybody is safe. That shit is extremely scary, and that absolutely sucks. That just the volume of these storms just back to back is it's terrible. So hope everybody's okay. If you're listening, you know, awesome that everybody made it out. Hope your family, house, all that belongings, all that good stuff, your loved ones are good. Like, not a whole lot I could say about that other than, you know, hope everybody's safe. That shit sucks, man. So moving on to Arizona Green Bay again, sorry. 47.5 was the opening total. And Packers laying 5. We're seeing 47 pretty much everywhere. Packers still laying 5 or 5.5. Kyler Murray is going to be sub 5% owned. I like this spot for him. I like the game script for him. I don't think Green Bay's defense is nearly as good as it should be on paper. I just don't like how much Arizona's taking the air out of the ball. I do think that changes this week, but the weather's kind of like, okay, fighting me a little bit on my theory there. So probably a situation I'm not going to invest a ton in. Jordan Love, 6,600, 5 to 7% owned. It is what it is. I love the spot for Josh Jacobs on the running back side of things, 20% owned there. That's what I'm seeing. I think it'll be under that. James Conner, right around 5% owned. You could play both those guys. They get a ton of work, and we love seeing running backs that get 15-plus touches. Both these guys do that and get a little bit of work in the passing down game. For Green Bay's defense here, they run a ton of zone, a lot of cover three, a little bit of cover two, and obviously, you know, everybody's going to play a little bit of press man sometimes, but this should be a fantastic fucking spot for Marvin Harrison Jr. He's like 2% owned. He was my favorite wide receiver for tournaments going into the week. Again, weather is kind of scaring me off of that. Probably a situation I'm going to fade. Jaden Reed, 7K. Like, the price is way up there. Again, most weeks, until further notice, I'm not going to handicap the Packers offense. It's damn near impossible. I've never met anybody that could really do it. Jaden Reed is obviously like the preferred guy if you don't care about price. Definitely not playing Wicks. How did that chalk work out for everybody last week with Dontavian Wicks? I know Bo Melton didn't work either, but we did talk about Bo Melton and betting his receiving under on the live stream. So if hopefully you guys check out the Sunday morning live stream on YouTube, the Win Daily Sports page. It is free every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. So yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaden Reed. I don't mind what Michael Wilson, sub 5% owned. I think he's got a boost up in coverage here too. And this guy's getting a ton of work. Again, weather is scary. Tight end, you can go back to Tucker Kraft, but 4,800, probably a hard fucking pass for me. If when he's in the 3K range, I get it. You know, last week it kind of, it's like you needed him in DFS to cash. Otherwise, all the chalk donkeys, and myself included, somehow I took Tucker Kraft because he was the only guy that fit. I would have taken Colby Parkinson, but it didn't fit with my team, so I lucked out with following the Tucker Kraft, you know, goldmine, I guess we want to call it that, but everybody had him. Trey McBride's my favorite tight end on the slate. Again, weather. Houston, New England. Man, fuck this game, right? Like, I don't think I'm going to say that about a lot of games this week. Opening total, 37.5, sitting there. Houston laying 6.5 to open. Now 7 at Circa. Pretty much 7 everywhere. I mean, I don't know. Like, Tank Dell is in a really good spot, but we should also see some rain here in this game. So, I don't know. CJ Stroud, 7K. Not paying 7K for Stroud in a game where I don't think New England can keep up at all, but interested to see Drake May. Interested to see how much he rushes. Joe Mixon, 6,900, probably a little too expensive for his first game back, especially if Damian Pierce is there too, and Dyer Ogunbowale has been pretty effective. So, not interested in any running back, even Antonio Gibson. No fucking way I'm playing that. If you're on it, I get it. That's fine. Like, the volume should be there in season long with bye weeks and injuries. You probably got to play him if you have him. Stephon Diggs, 7,400. This should be a great matchup for him. New England runs a lot of cover one and cover zero. They press a lot too. Should be a great spot for him and Tank. Tank, 6,200, 10% owned. Great price. Great anticipated volume. Just don't see a ton of back and forth here. But Tank's more of probably like a cash game play for me. Stephon Diggs just at 7,400 is going to be a fade. I would much rather have Marvin Harrison Jr. for cheaper. But again, the weather. Don't need to keep saying that. Did have some interest in Jalen Polk, but now with Kendrick Bourne coming fullback, I don't know who's going to be the X in that offense. Kendrick Bourne was on a pitch count last week, and Kendrick Bourne has been very, very solid in his tenure at New England. Tight ends, Dalton Schultz, yeah, cool. Like, he's our guy on third down, but I don't know. Unless he gets in the end zone, I don't see a ceiling game from him. Hunter Henry, maybe the volume's there with a rookie quarterback. Cool. Fuck that game, right? Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Let's go to the quarterbacks here. And the spread opened up at, total opened up at 42. Tampa laying 3.5, pretty much sitting there. Spencer Rattler, I thought he'd be like 30% owned. I don't expect much from him, but I still do trust Kubiak. I know it's kind of coming back to life a little bit over the past couple weeks, but Kansas City's defense is fucking really good. Outside of Baltimore, they have played really good against everybody, so not concerned there. But a quarterback that is 4K is kind of how I look at it. Again, I thought he'd be like 30% owned. People are just going to take the free square. Even if he's not that good, if he has 18 pass attempts, like, we should get to 13, 14 points. And he's got upside. He could chuck the ball. But, you know, Cesar Ruiz being out, like, I don't know. Tampa's going to blitz a shit ton. You know, Tepples, that's probably what's going to happen. So, I don't know. I'm going to play him. He is my main GPP quarterback right now just because I need the savings and I want to get different at some spots. Baker, 6,500, good spot. I do worry about the back and forth in this game. I don't think this is a shootout. At 7,700, I know that Alvin Kamara grades great in everybody's models. I have no interest. I don't know, especially with Kendra Miller coming back. Alvin's been kind of banged up. I do should see a lot of checkdowns and stuff, but if they blitz that much, like, sure, I guess he can go out in the flats and everything, but I feel like they're better off bringing in, like, Jamal or someone to pick up that blitz and just abuse Olave against a cover three. So I like Olave here a ton. Bucky Irving, 5,400, going to get a ton of run. I think you lock him in cash, and he's certainly in play in tournaments too at that price. But I think for me, Bucky's going to be my guy in cash. Austin Eckler's going to be my guy in tournaments. Like I said, love Chris Olave. Not doing the Mike Evans thing against Lattimore, even though I do think Lattimore is losing a step. But 7,300, when a game I don't think really shoots out. Again, I'm playing Rattler just for the value. Chris Olave, I'm seeing 2% owned. No fucking way. People have to play him. Not there for Shaheed. Again, I think Tebbles blitzes a ton. I don't think we see a ton of high ADOT, despite Rattler wants to chuck it deep. Do love Godwin for the Saints. Like, they are playing a lot of cover one, and for some reason this year, that has been a huge boost in target share for Chris Godwin. You'd think that Mike Evans being the X would get the guy in man coverage, but Chris Godwin is getting linebackers and safeties on him in the middle of the field, and he's beating them consistently. So we'll see a lot of man coverage from the Saints, not much blitz, and also see a lot of cover too. Pretty old school there with Ryan Nielsen. But yeah, I like Godwin, but in a game that's not back and forth, do I want to pay 6,900 for a guy whose, like, ceiling is probably 18 points in this game? Chris Godwin? No, I don't think I do. I'd rather have Zay Flowers for 6,500. I'd rather have Terry McLaurin for 6,400 in a game that I do think goes back and forth all day long. Tight ends, Kate Otten getting a lot of work, 3,500. Won't talk you off that. Juwan Johnson, I was very interested in at first, but going through the coverage, like, I think he's going to have to stay back and block a little bit more. I think Olave's a guy, and Rattler's been talking about Olave. I'll buy in, but if Juwan Johnson was like 0% owned, I'd be interested, but I'm seeing 7. So no, not taking Juwan Johnson. Both defenses probably in play, but more so the Bucs. The Bucs got to be the chalk D, right? Yeah, 15% owned. Well, I'm going to leverage that and play Rattler and pray for the best. Cleveland, Philly. I'm done with Cleveland. I'm not going to talk you off Amari Cooper if you want to do that. But yeah, I'm done with Deshaun Watson. I'm pretty much done with Amari Cooper because of Deshaun Watson. But 6K for a team that should be chasing points from the get-go. Yeah, I get it if you want to do that. Not really for me. This game did open up with a total of 43 points. Philly laying 9 to 9.5. This should be a great spot for Mr. Saquon Barkley. Obviously, you could play AJ Brown against man coverage and a lot of blitz. Like, this should be a fantastic spot for him. And Cleveland cannot cover this year, which is very surprising. But I feel like this is the offense that I just don't prioritize because I do worry about the back and forth ability of Cleveland. I mean, maybe this is a week that Cleveland can wake up and this game could just shoot out and win someone $1 million. It's certainly, like, on paper possible of doing that. But I think my favorite exposure here is Philly implied team total over 25.5 points. I have no interest in Dallas Goedert. We crushed that one at the Saints game, but I'm probably done with Dallas Goedert for quite some time, and that's the beauty of daily fantasy. You could play Philly's D, play Cleveland's D, I guess, if you really want to. But yeah, Philly is a team I'm scared to not have any part of, but can't play everybody. So there we go. Moving on to Tennessee hosting the Colts. That game also opened up at 43. Tennessee laying 2.5. Will Levis only 4,800. On paper, it's a great spot for him, but it's Will Levis and Tony Pollard. Like, they're going to run a ton. Tony Pollard, 6K, 25% owned. You probably lock him in cash. I have no interest in Anthony Richardson and that whole situation with the wide receivers. Like, yeah, Josh Downs is fucking awesome. I think that's the highest guy that I drafted in best ball because that injury he had preseason just dropped his price, and that's been paying off greatly so far. I would love to play a ton of Calvin Ridley, 5,700. It is a really good spot. We talk about the outside coverage on Indy all the time. But my issue here is that Tennessee, small sample size with this offense and Callahan, obviously, but Gus Bradley just plays a ton of cover three, and Tennessee spreads it out a ton against cover three. Like, the matchup is amazing for Ridley, but when we saw Jacksonville, the anticipated target shares for Brian Thomas Jr. against cover three is phenomenal. It was like, what did I say, pushing 40% target share. With Tennessee, it's like everybody is like 18%. So, yeah, you could play D-Hop. You're not playing Boyd, but Calvin Ridley, like, I don't know. I just don't want to do it. I think my favorite guy here is Tony Pollard. No interest in any of the tight ends, and both defenses probably in play. But Tennessee at 2,800, that D is probably my favorite. They're one of the best defenses in the NFL, in my opinion, too. And Anthony Richardson sucks. So, yeah, going to that. Chargers-Denver, this one's going to be a quick one. It's like a half fuck this game for my terms, but opened up at 35.5. Basically, all these games with this low of a total, I'm not going to be very interested in from a DFS side of things, and you probably shouldn't be either, but there are a couple one-offs we could talk about. Chargers are laying 3 on the road. There is no Gus Edwards, so J.K. Dobbins, 6,200, fantastic spot. I know Denver C has looked awesome, but the Chargers run offense looks awesome, and J.K. Dobbins looks awesome. No interest in the pass catchers like Ladd McConkey. I do believe in this guy, and I do believe that he is kind of like the wide receiver one in terms of volume for the Chargers, but this is not going to be a high-scoring affair, in my opinion, so I'm out on everybody. Pitt, Las Vegas, another one. Probably fucked this game. 36.5 point total was the opener. Pittsburgh laying 3, pretty much sitting at both those numbers right now. Justin Fields is going to get another start. I think this is a statement game for him. If you want to get different in tournaments, this is a good spot for Justin Fields. Good spot for Najee Harris, but we did say Jalen Warren's probably coming back. I have no interest in Aiden O'Connell. Like, play the Pittsburgh defense. It's going to be a home game for Pittsburgh and Vegas. It pretty much is a home game for everybody when they go to Vegas, it seems like, which is kind of strange because the Raiders used to have diehard fans, but maybe that's their way of sticking it to Oakland for letting them leave. But I don't know. Don't know if that's actually the case. It just sounds like on TV. It's a home game for whoever plays the Raiders. So love Pittsburgh's defense here. Again, not really interested in Najee Harris. If he's going to be 15 to 20% owned, I'm going to be out. I don't know what's going on with George Pickens. The guy's very talented. Doesn't seem like he wants to play hard very often. This is a make or break game for him, in my opinion. Like, this is a perfect matchup. We talked about this 2 weeks ago with Amari Cooper being like my preferred play against his secondary. Last week was Sutton. We just didn't have the volume. So kind of a, you know, a good spot on paper, but just wasn't really there. So glad I didn't invest a ton in Courtland Sutton. But yeah, I mean, Pickens, it's now or never. Jacoby Myers is going to be good to go. It sounds like he's good. So Trey Tucker, 4,200, decent spot. But yeah, no back and forth. Atlanta. Atlanta has the second highest implied team total. Third. I'm sorry. Detroit's got 28. Atlanta, 26.5. And I see Green Bay, 26.25. So Atlanta. Yeah. Carolina's defense sucks. We know that. Everybody's kicking their ass. This game opened up as a 47-point total. Very nice total there. I think that Vegas expects that Carolina can stay in this game, which is kind of surprising. I don't think Atlanta's D is as bad as they are playing, but Kirk Cousins, 6,200, right around 8% ownership I'm seeing. I'll take the under. I just don't think people go there. I think it's a great spot for him, but I'm also not like chasing the volume that we had last week. Obviously, 500 passing yards probably doesn't happen again. Andy Dalton, 5,200, no interest. Running backs, Chuba Hubbard's going to be the biggest fade for me ever. Like 30% owned, I'm seeing Chuba Hubbard. Just go play Tony Pollard. Chuba Hubbard has no offensive line. I bet his under 65.5 rush yards over there at Fanatics. And then Xavier Leggett over 3.5 at plus 160. I think they took that one off the board, but 3.5 receptions for Xavier Leggett should not be plus 160. I have projected for like 4.4 on the button. So I probably would have not taken this at even money, but if you give me like plus 115, plus 125, I probably would have had value on that number, but plus 160, it has left the station. So don't try to chase that. But Bijan Robinson's the best play on the board. 6,600. Every single running back gets right against Carolina. I have no doubts that this is a great spot for him. And maybe you can take like a anytime touchdown bet on Tyler Allgeier just to kind of handicap yourself there. But they got to get this guy going, and this is the perfect spot to do it. Let's go into the coverages here for both teams. For Atlanta, we're going to see a lot of cover three. Not going to blitz very much, and they do a really good job closing the middle of the field, honestly. So I like the outside wide receivers. That's Deontay Johnson and Xavier Leggett, and I guess Chuba on the check down stuff, but I'm not taking Chuba's rushing and no interest in DFS. And I'm not even playing him in cash. I don't care about the ownership. Fuck that. He's got to come down to life soon. But all these offensive linemen out for him hurts. Deontay Johnson, it is a really good spot in terms of like game script. I think Atlanta scores at will. Seems like Vegas does too. Like, they have a higher implied team total than the Philadelphia Eagles at home. And Atlanta's on the road, not on turf. So take note, like, some of the stuff does matter. Xavier Leggett, 4,900, one of my favorite plays. Also for salary relief, like, I like that, but sub 5% owned. Great coverage. I think that, you know, going on the outside, Xavier Leggett should do his thing, especially if Atlanta scores at will, right? Drake London, the dude's volume's unbelievable. Like, Kirk is revitalizing that guy. I love it, but, you know, J.C. Horn's pretty solid. I know DJ Moore beat him up on that one route. I think the last touchdown was his second one was on J.C. Horn, if I remember correctly, but I got to rewatch that game, I guess. But, yeah, get exposure to Atlanta, I think, is what I'm going to do. And the field's going to have a ton of Bijan, 25% owned. I think he should be like 100. I think injury, knock on wood here, is the only thing that stops him from having like a 30-point outing here. Kyle Pitts, sub 5% owned. I don't mind that. Like, I can't afford Drake London because I do, like, I want a pass catcher and I want a running back, Bijan, for Atlanta. I want to get multiple passive exposure to this high team total. Xavier Leggett's going to be my preferred bring back. If you could afford Deontay Johnson, I won't talk you off of him, but it's like, Darnell Mooney, 5,300, like, it is what it is. He's getting a ton of work. I'm going to roll the dice at this tight end spot that Kyle Pitts, even though I said I think I swore off Kyle Pitts a long time ago, but 4,400 for a next to nothing owned Kyle Pitts. I love just getting exposure to tight ends in these high team totals. Like, that's pretty much what we did with Dallas Goedert. Like, people are going to play a ton of London. People are going to play a ton of Bijan Robinson. People are going to play a healthy bit of Darnell Mooney. So let's just go the guy that no one's going to fucking play, and that's Kyle Pitts, so I'm okay with it. No interest in punting down to Jatavion Sanders or whoever the starting tight end. I guess Ian Thomas may be back for the Panthers. Falcons defense definitely in play. Last game, the shootout everybody wants to get exposure to, and for good reason, is Dallas and Detroit. opened up at 53, sitting at 52.5 now, and the Cowboys laying 3 on the road. You know who to play here. Like, Dak probably throws for 350 yards in this game. I don't think that Dallas gets a stop. So, obviously, you could play Jared Goff to offset the chalk of Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm only seeing 13% ownership. But, again, like, Dowdle is in play. I know it's not a great spot to run against Detroit, but he's got to get a lot of volume here. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, both of those guys are in fucking smash spots. Dallas plays a... Well, they blitz a lot. I guess it's mainly cover 3, but zone blitz. Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Like we talked about Amon-Ra against the blitz. My fear here is that they could just do anything they want on offense. So it's like, I don't know if I want to pay up for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know if I want to pay 7K for Jahmyr Gibbs, who splits literally 50-50 with David Montgomery, even when it's on the goal line. Like both of those guys, to hit a ceiling game, has to go just like last week did with Seattle. It's like, sure, it's possible. We saw it happen a week ago, but I don't know if I want to bet, especially in a $1,500 lineup. Like, to me, that is that's a lot of money. So it's like, I don't want to really be that risky with it. It's a smaller field. I feel like the way to go here is just take, you know, obviously, if you want to pay up for quarterback, Dak's in a fantastic spot. You could pair him with Tolbert or Ferguson or just go to fucking CeeDee Lamb. Like, they are going to pass the ball a ton. And I think if you just get exposure to one of these key contributors to Dallas, you're getting exposure to Detroit by doing that, because Detroit should continue to score. That should feed the passing game for Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, core play of the week with, I think, or Bijan. Bijan's going to be a core play of the week for me as well at the running back position. I'm trying to think. Tight end, I'm not going to tell you like Kyle Pitts, but I'm interested there too. Ferguson, cash, probably, right? We got to play him in cash. It's like him or Ertz for me. 5K for Ferguson's great. If you want to get really different in tournaments, Sam Laporte is in a great spot. But there it is. I will get the playbook up later tonight. Just waiting on a couple more injury news and just want to see ownership mature a little bit. But thank you guys so much for the support. Good luck to everybody in week 6. And let's stay hot.